We start today's program with the exciting news that all those robocalls to your house and the campaign commercials on TV and radio have ended, at least for the very short term. Yesterday's primary election will lead to a brief breather from campaign intensity, though it's going to ramp up again quite soon. With me to talk about what trends emerge from Tuesday's results and what that may foreshadow for November, our former Arizona Corporation Commission Chair Chris Mays and consultant Barrett Marson of Marson Media. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So, Chris, before we get into some of the real deep stuff, two incumbents, Attorney General Tom Horn, Superintendent of Public Instruction John Hoopenthal, both lost. What do you make of that, first of all? And, you know, what matches up there? What is reminiscent for both of them, and what was inconsistent for both?
Well, I think, clearly self-inflicted wounds matter. I think that was probably the first lesson about that race. And, how you run a campaign and what you do in office still matters. And I think that's somewhat refreshing to see. So obviously both Horn and Hoopenthal engaged in some behavior and did some things during the campaign and prior that people disagreed with. In the case of Hoopenthal, there's some speculation about whether the Common Core issue really was at the base of his loss and his opponent making such a big deal out of that, and especially in the Republican primary. But for both of them, it was a lot of self-inflicted wounds.
The state Republican Party, Doug Ducey, and anyone who cares about good government can breathe a little bit of sigh of relief today. It was really good to see both Hoopenthal and Horn pay for their huge transgressions. And now Doug Ducey doesn't have to make a decision. Do I stand up on stage with two people who are, well, disgraced winners? And so now he gets to stand up with Mark Brnovich and Diane Douglas, who, you know,
of course,
Douglas may not exactly be the greatest candidate, but it would have been a huge embarrassment to have.
It also means he's got to stand up on stage with two people nobody knows, and I think it has opened up a fascinating race in the general election. Really, obviously the Rodolini people, we can get into this.
Sure.
Did not want this to happen. They wanted Horn to win. There were a lot of independent voters that I know who actually voted for Horn because they wanted to set up that matchup with Rodolini.
That happens, so, Chris.
That actually happens.
You know what, though, Chris? Both Douglas and Brnovich, they have upside. Horn and Hoopenthal were all downside.
Very true.
And so, yes, Mark doesn't have a huge name ID, and yes, he ran the I'm Not Tom Horn campaign and was very successful at that. And now he truly does have to pivot to, I'm a former state and federal prosecutor. I've put bad people away. I am going to be very good for this job.
Now, a lot of people were saying that the Democrats, because this is not a presidential election year, were going to have problems. So even though we've heard about the great things of Brnovich and Douglas, Rodolini almost beat Tom Horn, at least came much closer than any other Democrat to winning in a statewide race the last time around. And now you've got David Garcia, who a lot of people seem to be excited about. So, Barrett, I guess I feel like, is this a situation where some purist conservatives decided, yes, we don't want the ethical issues, perhaps moral issues of these two, but has that set them up to really have a much better chance of defeat? As much baggage as Horn had, we know Horn had won election after election. Brnovich hasn't proven he can do that.
It's going to be tough. He's going to have to certainly raise more money than he has raised, and I'm sure in the next week or so he's going to have a huge fundraising effort. It's going to be incumbent upon him to just teach people how to pronounce his name. It's a hard name to pronounce.
A lot of people don't know.
People don't.
The governor struggled with it as well.
And he's going to have to work on
this
that.
This really reminds me, though, of the situation that Janet Napolitano found herself in. She was able to come in and win attorney general. This is I think the Democrats see this as a golden opportunity to take that spot. Felicia Rodolini's been running for 4 years, longer than that, actually. Mm-hmm. So, and she's been fundraising. She's been getting out there, talking to people for a number of years. And it's going to be a great race and one to watch for sure.
It is definitely going to be a fun race. There are going to be a lot of good races. Obviously, Terry Goddard versus Michelle Reagan, you have someone who's been on a ballot since the 1990s, since 1990, I think, almost every four-year ballot. You've had someone who's got a great name and has been essentially running for Secretary of State for the last couple of years. I think that is going to be a really good race to watch. Mm-hmm. It won't get covered much by the media, but both Michelle Reagan and Terry Goddard are hard campaigners, and I think they're going to work pretty hard.
And in a race where I think the dark money issue is going to play a central role. Both of those candidates, I think, are going to talk about that. Terry is obviously going to push that as his primary theme. And then Michelle Reagan is going to talk about it as well. So mm-hmm. we will see at least a discussion about that.
And that's why, well, first of all, it's sort of like Hugh Hallman saying, I'm going to balance the budget. Neither Michelle Reagan nor Terry Goddard, they should be running for the legislature if they really want to do something about dark money.
I agree with you. It's not, they don't have a direct lever over, but they can certainly propose legislation.
Sure, they can. But I got to say, I don't think voters care about dark money. That's just the true upside of this whole thing is people don't know what dark money is, and it's something that insiders like us talk a lot about, but it is not something that the public talks about.
Okay, now Chris, one area where dark money really, I'm contradicting myself here, really was shined on was the Corporation Commission race, and we saw the two who seemed to be APS favorites, Tom Farese, Doug Little, win last night. Talk a little bit about what's going on with APS, because we have this feeling that we know APS. It's almost like the worst kept secret in politics right now, that APS is giving money, but yeah. Are they? Do we know that they are? How much does this sort of muddy the waters of the Corporation Commission race?
Too much, and it's unfortunate to see. I don't know what's going on with APS. I wish I did, but for some unknown reason, they decided to get involved in this race. When traditionally and for about 100 years, utilities have stayed out of the Corporation Commission race. And I do think it casts a cloud over the commission, over all of the candidates. You know, no matter who wins, if the two candidates who won the primary, Farese and Little, do win, they're going to have to walk into the Corporation Commission with everybody knowing that APS spent $1 million to try to get them elected, apparently. And then there will be continued calls for the current commission and the future commission to investigate APS for this.
Barrett, one second, let me follow up with Chris here. Why is the Corporation Commission, at least in this situation, when we've sort of, you're one of the leaders in Arizona going more solar, more alternative energy, it does seem like whether it's an organization like Tusk or whether it's the fight or not, it does seem like many, many more people are inclined, whether for their own benefit or the benefit of the state, to want more alternative energy and more solar.
Absolutely.
So, all right, so what's going to come up in this general election outside of the dark money aspect? Is there going to be a battle over how much solar or how little solar?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think that does set up at least an interesting, somewhat interesting race between the Democrats for the commission and the Republicans, because obviously the Democrats will be calling for more solar. That's a position that the vast majority of Arizonans, 80% of Arizonans, believe we ought to be doing more solar, not less, including 80% of Republicans, okay? And obviously independents. And then I think this dark money issue in APS is going to be used by the Democrats against the Republicans. As you know, however, it's tough for Democrats to win this race. It's
for sure.
Down ballot race, and unless there's a lot of money on their side, it's going to be a tough one.
You know, one of the things about, again, these down ballot races is not a lot of attention, not just from voters, but from the media. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, if not for dark money, nobody would know any of these candidates, either from advertising or from earned media, the newspaper,
the way the dark money was spent was ridiculous, and the mailers that went out, the television ads that APS ran, had nothing to do with the issues. They brought in Obama and all sorts of things, and frankly, specious claims against the candidates that they were running these ads against, and so it was not some sort of educational effort, Barrett, on the part of the state's largest utility. It just wasn't.
Well,
any notion that it was is ridiculous.
But my point is that the media isn't covering the race.
Oh, totally true.
But that's my point.
That was the case when I was a commissioner.
Sure.
I mean, the media never covered the Corporation Commission. It frustrated me to no end.
I agree. And that's why whenever there's outside money being spent, no matter who it's by, it's going to have a lot of influence because there is no media coverage of this race.
So true.
So that's why their, you know, Friess and Little ran a good campaign, but yes, they were aided by groups that were supportive of them.
One thing that happened last night is a lot of people lost. And Felicia Rotellini, as we mentioned, lost 4 years ago to Tom Horn, but came out of it people thinking, here's an up-and-comer. Anybody stand out to the two of you who lost last night who may still have a political future? I would think someone like Christine Jones has said, okay, I've spent a lot of money, I went for the top, I won't be. That's just my assumption. But, Chris, anyone come to mind who didn't do quite so well last night but still has a future?
Oh, you know, I think someone, yeah, I would wonder whether Christine Jones would want to get back into it. Obviously, she's got the financial means to do so. Somebody like Lucy Mason, I think, who ran for the Corporation Commission, may want to do something else again. You know, Mary Rose Wilcox has said she wants to get back in the fray in some way. So we'll see how that goes. I certainly expect to see her stick around.
Barrett, anybody come to mind?
You know, I think Scott Smith won't go away. He did a great job in Mesa. He left early to run for governor. He did come in he's at least second this morning. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll go away. You know, one thing about Christine Jones, we've seen the self-funders not necessarily come back, or you know, in the case of Will Cardin, he didn't do well when he did come back.
Yeah.
Justin Pierce, you know, he came in a pretty strong second to Michelle Reagan. He really didn't have a chance. A lot of people didn't think he had a chance early on. He came in second. He did really well. He's young. He's bright. I think he's got a good future.
I'm glad you brought up Justin Pierce. Let's wrap it up, I guess, with this. Chris, he's a guy. Was he helped or hurt by these mailers we talked about? Because obviously it was intended to help him.
Yeah, I don't think it helped him. I think that, you know, it may have helped him to some degree, but it didn't help him enough. And then I think, you know, the sort of issues that were out there around the fact that it was probably APS funding it, and Justin's dad is Gary Pierce, who's a corporation commissioner, you know, that didn't help either one of them. And I think if they're, you know, if we're being honest, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help Justin in the future. I think Justin does have a bright future. I think he'll be back. I think he probably wants to practice law for a little while and forget about politics for a bit. But
one area, Chris, I'm going to really disagree with you on is the idea that Justin Pierce didn't benefit from whatever spending. He came in a very strong second with only, I think it was $150,000. I don't remember the exact clean elections amount, but it's not a lot. Will Cardin spent way more.
That's a good point.
Had more name ID.
That's a good point.
There's no reason that Justin Pierce should have gotten more than 15%, but with the outside spending, he did well.
Yeah.
Again, in a race that got no coverage whatsoever, except for dark money.
And not to kick Will Cardin when he's down, but did he get a higher percentage last night or against Jeff Flake in that Senate primary? It hasn't added up to too much for him.
Yeah. He didn't spend as much this year, though.
That's for sure. Barrett Morrison of Morrison Media, Chris Mays, former Arizona Corporation Commission Chair, thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.